Hello, and welcome to section 119.
Dude, start this thing over now.
Why?
Hello, hello.
What?
That's still not consecutive, though. Hello, hello, hello.
Damn, I'm trying to change things up.
Dude, I'm a forced creature of habit, okay?
We did change it up. You did one, I did two, and he did three.
See?
Hello, 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 and welcome to section 119.
That is so much better.
Now we can all get in the mood and ready to go. We are going to talk all things Aggie sports, as we always do.
We should change it up.
What do you want to talk about? Sometimes we talk about food.
Yeah,
we talk about other things.
We take concessions, I guess, sometimes.
Sometimes we talk about Jim Nance or Scarlett Johansson.
I haven't mentioned concessions for a couple weeks. No, that's concessions true. At a softball game are really good.
Eh, they're mediocre. They just got kind of a crappy little concession truck that has mediocre hot dogs. Anyway, pretty good show planned today for you. Utah State men's tennis team, congrats to the Mountain West champion.
Of the regular season
champion, Utah State men's tennis.
Whoa.
No, you guys aren't going to join? There we go. Round of applause for them. So we'll talk about that. We'll kick the show off with them. And then talk a little bit at Aggie softball, who is probably a soon-to-be Mountain West champion. So they'll get their round of applause in the coming weeks, we hope. Talk about a controversial subject, which will be named at that time. I don't know how controversial it actually is, but we're talking about
Scarlett Johansson again?
No, that's not controversial.
Well, yeah, you can make it controversial. Is she the hottest woman in the world?
Okay, that is a little bit controversial.
Exactly.
And then we're going to close out talking about the recent news of Rashad Lewis departing the football team. I almost said the men's football team.
Dude, that's the other. Okay, well, when we get to that one, I have got the best point.
Okay, Daniel, don't forget it. Okay. So so I already brought it up. Maybe I spoiled the surprise, but if you haven't heard by now, you should have already heard. The men's tennis team, Mountain West regular season champions for the second straight season.
Yeah, this is
pretty dope.
Pretty dope. Pretty kind of empty.
You think about the only championship that we have in all of our time in the Mountain West and all of our sports is last year's regular season title. So it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, we have like, I don't know how many sports total, like 16 or so maybe. None of them have even finished on top of a conference standings for any sport in any season for 5 years now in the Mountain West.
Before that, 14.
Yeah, before that, the closest we had was the when the Aggies played in the Mountain West championship game.
Football.
The first year. So they were a Mountain Division champion, if you want to count that kind of.
Yeah, well, and to be honest, we haven't had many Mountain Division champs. I guess that's really only football and basketball.
Well,
right?
Pretty much just football.
Yeah, I don't think basketball has divisions. It's just one full conference.
Well, no, because you play home and home with all the teams in your division, and then you only play three of the teams in the other division one time. I just don't think it's split up. Yeah. Maybe just for scheduling purposes.
I think it's just scheduling.
I think you may have played home and home with more than just three of them. I think you play everybody.
No, you play home and home with all but three. Yeah. And then three of them you only play once.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Question, but anyways.
A little bit of a tangent.
Men's tennis is the only team to do this. But I don't think this was their goal. Like, speaking to them throughout the season, this weekend has been really their goal. This weekend, of course, being the actual conference tournament.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I haven't had a ton of contact with them, but you could just tell, like, the attitude around the team is, we've been there, we've done that, we got a regular season championship last year, now they want the real, I don't want to say the real thing, because, like, honestly, if it wasn't the norm, I think that a regular season championship should mean more, because it means that you've played consistently throughout the entire season well, but, like, in order to get that automatic berth, which they'll probably have a berth anyway, but to get the automatic and probably a much higher seed in the tournament, they need to win this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it, they've got a good shot at doing that. They start off Boise State on Friday, And then from there, you kind of have to project. So it's going to be either San Diego State or New Mexico, and then who knows on the championship game, possibly like Fresno or something. And then, like you were saying, NCAA tournament, automatic bid if they win. If they don't, it's already a field of 64, and they're 43rd in the country right now. So
they're looking pretty good right now,
yeah. But we'll see.
Even with the first-round exit, I still think that they probably make it into the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, so they're in action Friday night. This whole thing's up in Boise, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, they just played in Boise this past week and won 4-1, and they're playing Boise again in Boise this week.
So, two times playing Boise and Boise in 2 weeks.
Yeah, which, to be honest, they're probably not upset about, because Boise just really isn't that great of a team this year.
I mean,
obviously, that's why they're 8 seed. But.
So, yeah, that'll be Friday night at 6 o'clock p.m., so if you're not down watching the Jazz with me and Daniel, I guess Trevor, make a road trip up to... Trevor, too.
I'll be somewhere else in the arena, though, but...
So if you're not down watching the Jazz with all three of us, drive up to Boise. Why not?
I'll give you a couple reasons why not, but yeah, okay. That's for a different podcast.
That's true. So they're Friday, 6 p.m. If they win that game, which is looking pretty good, they'll be back at it Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday, 6 p.m., 1:30 p.m. Psych. But, yeah, the champion will be decided on Sunday.
Yeah, so we'll bring you update on that, and then NCAA tournament isn't going to be too long after that. It's in the first couple weeks of May, though it's really difficult to find an actual time. I had to go to Wikipedia to find like the dates of the tournament. But 64 team tournament, Utah State's probably going to be in. Now it's just kind of a question of seeding, whether or not they win the tournament's probably going to give them a bit of an increase. And I mean, they got a decent shot. I mean, they already beat number 12 TCU, who climbed into the top 10 after that loss as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've got a top 10 winner on their schedule. They've got swept by a lot of other top 10 teams with Virginia and Georgia and stuff back in the indoors. But
and a win over a pretty good BYU team as well.
Yeah, a decent BYU team. They hung tough with Cal Poly as well, who's also ranked around the same area as we are. There's a chance for a decent run there, actually.
Yeah. Worth noting as well, the women's tennis team, though they haven't had as good of a season as the men's, which is why we focused a lot more on that. They are in action at the Mountain West Tournament this weekend, which is in Las Vegas for the women's. I would have thought that they'd be in the same place, but I guess it makes sense. The women are headed to Vegas, where they are going to play the ninth seed. So the team is the eighth seed. They'll play the ninth seed San Diego State Aztecs. And there's actually 11 teams in women's, while there's only 8 in men's. So a little bit bigger.
Save that for our issue later.
Yeah, that's true. So if you're the eighth seed in the men's tournament, you're the last seed. If you're the eighth in the women's, as our team is, not quite as bad. You're 8 out of 11. So about like our basketball team.
Mesmerizingly mediocre.
Good luck to them though. Down in Las Vegas, they're playing Thursday, April 27th. So this Thursday at 11 o'clock a.m. I'm sure that there's a stream for that as well.
I think they at least had one for men's tennis that's going to be on several places. So I'm assuming they do the same thing for women's sports.
Yeah, I'm sure that they will. Other than that, softball is continuing to kill it.
The soon-to-be-in-a-few-weeks regular season champion?
Well, so with softball, the regular season champion is the champion. There's no tournament, which, and I've kind of talked about how stupid I think this is. I think it's probably on a scale of 1 to... Give me something that's really stupid, Daniel.
Scale of 1 to New York Knicks management.
Okay, it's like a 4 on that scale, but it's pretty stupid. that's some pretty hot stuff. good improv there. Anyway, I think it's ridiculous. They don't have a conference tournament. So if they win the regular season, they win the championship. And looking real good to do that right now. Currently sitting at 12-5. the next two teams below them, 9-6. That's San Diego State and San Jose State.
And to go with that, our next two, our last two series this year are this week at home, San Diego State, and then the next weekend after that, on the road against San Jose State. So,
huge series. But that given, actually, I mean, almost in a way that could play towards the Aggies' favor, because if you get a win, it counts for twice as much, essentially. Whereas, you know, if we were playing some other team and we lost and then San Diego State or San Jose State won, it's more detrimental. But as long as we win probably three out of our last six, maybe even two out of our last six, we're basically guaranteed a Mountain West championship.
And I'm pretty sure Kelly White's going to be pitching for more than just two games.
So we'll win at least two or three.
And it's
so I honestly, I mean, you look at this team, they haven't lost a single Mountain West series. They went, like, they had a real tough series this weekend against New Mexico this past weekend. The first game, it was an absolute battle back and forth the whole time. Utah State they gave up four runs in the sixth inning and went down by two and then came back with four of their own, won the thing 9-7. They fought hard Saturday but lost 9-5 and then Sunday came out and won 5-2. I mean, they were really put to the test and came out still with the series win.
Yeah, right now they have the one game advantage in the loss column, so against those two teams. So if they go into those next two series and they win, then they go 2-for-1 in both of those, then that will put them at 7 losses and both the other teams with at least 8. And San Jose State and San Diego State do have 3 series left, but you know, even with if they have 8 losses, it's not going to help them at all.
So basically what we're saying is a couple weeks from now, when everything else has pretty much entered into the doldrums of the offseason, we're going to pretty much be devoting an entire episode to another Mountain West champion.
And honestly, it could be as soon as next week. This weekend, if we win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 3, there's a pretty good shot. I'm just doing the math in my head, but there's a pretty good shot that they could clinch this weekend, assuming San Jose loses 1 or 2 of their games. But huge, great season for Utah State softball. Got to give them a shout out. They're playing out of their minds. Look really good. I'm excited to see what they do in their tournament postseason. Not Mountain West tournament, because that's stupid and doesn't exist. Not as stupid as the Knicks management.
No, but about a 4 on that scale, apparently.
There's a 64-team NCAA tournament where they have a real good shot to compete.
You got a good offense, and I mean, if it's clicking.
Yep. Well, and honestly, this past weekend, I think, was the only time this entire season that we've seen freshman pitcher Kelly White, or at least the only home. I guess I didn't watch a ton of the early on, the first 25 road games, but it was really the only time that we've seen Kelly White exposed. She looked not like her normal self, and I mean, they're playing a really, really hot-hitting team. So that, you know, in New Mexico, so that doesn't help. But even when the pitchers are having down days, they still look really good. So that's a positive.
Yeah, well, I don't think she really had that much before going on, because when you come into the season, into the game, the third game with still having a 1.9 ERA, that's still pretty low when you're playing against other pitchers that are in the 4-point-somethings on ERA. So
if she's not freshman of the year, I'm going to burn down buildings and riot in the streets, because she should – I mean, she should maybe be the Mountain West pitcher of the year.
Be selective with what buildings you burn down. Like, pick a good spot that could become like an in and out after they clear all the debris and stuff.
Where's
like
the Mountain West headquarters?
I think they're Vegas, Denver. Isn't it?
I thought they were in Colorado somewhere. In
Denver and Vegas. Time to consult the Google. I've never actually thought about that.
I would assume like it's in Vegas, because that's where every single like major tournament that like, they don't like just cycle through each team is. But
well, doing tournaments in Las Vegas is going to get you a lot more money than would in Denver, because people want to travel there for other things also.
It is in. You were both wrong. Actually, what did you say, Trevor?
I said Denver somewhere in Colorado.
You're both wrong. Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I said somewhere or so, somewhere in Colorado, so I was...
I put in MW headquarters initially, and they came up with Springfield, Massachusetts. Yeah. Don't just do abbreviations, kids.
Yeah. Anyway, the softball team, so they arose out of absolutely nowhere. You know, even 2-3 years ago, we're talking about a very mediocre 500 team or below, and have exploded and all of a sudden become this Mountain West powerhouse, looking amazing.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had a baseball team?
The question
like that.
I hate the fact that we don't have a baseball team, and I want to know where you guys stand on this. I mean, we do. Sure, we have a baseball team, and well, they won a national championship or whatever. But like,
see, that makes it even worse in my opinion, because we've won two national championships in the past couple of years. So I mean, yeah, we're a club team and definitely not as good as like a Division I program, or at least most of them. But we're also, I mean, not just like scum of the earth. So it's like you kind of look at it and like think like there's a possibility of it being a decent Division I
competitive
program
in their, you know, in the.
It's like being an FCS
place team. Where they play exactly like. Do I think that
like North Dakota State can go out and they can beat like Iowa or somebody like that once a year, but if they were actually FBS, they're probably going like 3-9.
Yeah. And I think that there may be an even bigger separation between our club team and most D1 teams. Just I say this because I know a few of the players and know who they were in high school and weren't even that impactful on high school teams, and then just can take a couple of years off and then come play club baseball at USU and be like the superstars. So maybe it's personal bias, I don't know, but I just think it would be so cool if we had, I mean, not every other school, but Utah Valley, BYU and Utah, the two biggest schools, and then UVU have their own teams.
The thing with baseball is like, it's not like a super big money sport. Like not a ton of like places around the country are going to make a ton of money with baseball. But it's more so than most of like the Olympic sports.
I'm with you, but I think it would be our third largest.
Yeah.
Sport. I mean, like obviously could, still football and then basketball, but then I think it would be baseball.
I could see like for like a big game, big conference game, I could see like maybe a couple thousand coming out to a game, like against BYU or something.
I could see baseball like dominating this spring season.
Yeah.
Easily.
Well, I mean, we talk every week about the spring sports that are going on, and we've got softball, which look, as much as I absolutely love this softball team and how great they are, if we had a baseball team that was doing the same thing and like looking as good as the softball team, we probably wouldn't even mention softball just because, you know, baseball rules.
Well, it's just with like tennis. I mean, women's tennis is having a pretty decent year, at least relative to the expectations that they had. But we hardly mention them, and you said it like earlier in this podcast, because men's tennis is so freaking amazing. We just spend all of our time there.
And baseball.
And you can kind of be like, well, maybe that's sexist, maybe that's a societal problem. But it's just kind of the fact, like, if we had a really good baseball team and we're like, we could contend with like a Vanderbilt or like a North Carolina State or something, people would, I think, would kind of get into that.
Well, not only that, like even when it was basketball season, even though the men's team was doing, I think, worse than the women's team was, we tend to spend a little bit more time on the men's team than we did on the women's team. We did, you know, we did spend quite a few time on the women's team. It's just like most people, a lot of times it's the men's sports you're hearing about, not the women's.
Sometimes I'll just like be driving by during like a softball game, and I see there's only like maybe a couple hundred people there, like watching a game, and that's kind of a good attendance sometimes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can sometimes get a little bit more, but baseball, like, it's not out of the question. Like, if we had the facilities, of course, like, we'd probably have to build, like, some sort of ballpark nearby that could actually seat people, because we don't really have that in the valley, like maybe Smithfield, which we don't really know too much about
never,
the fields
never
there.
The park.
Providence, that's a little league. It's, yeah, that's a little league park pretty much. But if they put something in, like on or near campus, people I think would attach to that a lot more than just like, even just like men's tennis or men's golf.
Yeah. But no, I mean, listen, I love softball, I love volleyball, I love gymnastics. The women's sports that we have here amazing. But I just think it would be so nice to have a baseball team that could compete with the other 300-plus baseball teams in the country. I mean, there's so many teams that have – there are so many schools that have baseball teams, and it's just kind of crazy that we don't. But the issue comes, and I think that the thing that's keeping us – because if you add a baseball team, you also have to add an equal amount of women's scholarships.
And because baseball, if you want it to be competitive, you're probably adding about, like, 25 scholarships maybe, like – 20 or something like that.
I'd guess probably closer to 20.
Like, I'm not entirely sure, like, 15 how college rosters really work that well, but you're adding a decent amount of scholarships there. So you could add, like, we were kind of thinking about this before the show, women's golf is going to only add, would add, like, maybe four. Maybe you add, like, women's water polo or something, women's hockey. The idea I had earlier was a women's football. Because then we could be the only team in the entire NCAA. We'd have a national championship every single year.
Well, not only that, there's now nowadays NCAA is sanctioning women's rugby.
And even Utah just opened up the first esports team in the country.
That's not associated with the athletics department, though.
I don't care. I want to mention that because I think that's so nerdy for Utah to do.
Okay, so a correction, because we were wrong about the scholarship number. We guessed 15 to 20. Under NCAA rules, they're only allowed a maximum of 11.7 scholarships. The 0.7, I guess, what, a seventh of a scholarship? So, 7/10 of a scholarship.
So that's all they're allowed. That doesn't mean that's how much they have to use. So
that's
eight,
maximum.
So adding an 8-woman scholarship golf team for now would work.
Well, see, the thing is, though, that I would, you know, if we're going to add a team, I'd want them to be competitive. I wouldn't want to add a
baseball
team.
We don't
want
to add it just so we can go watch it. We want
exactly.
it to be somewhat.
If we're going
to
add a team, let's make them competitive and give them the maximum scholarship amount, which really 11.7, that's pretty low.
Yeah, so what they're saying is, like, so that would just make us have a little bit more walk-ons, or, you know, than most schools, because most schools, they don't even give most baseball players a full ride scholarship. It's most of the time it's like a quarter of a or a half a scholarship.
True, but still going to want to use all of that. I mean,
yeah, I'm just saying that
football
makes you
has
that much less.
They can use up to like 85, but it's not really a good idea to go below that. But the thing in that 11.7, just add like a women's like jockey team or something like that, like
women's
equestrian. That's the word. That's the word.
Yeah, like, you know, there's plenty of teams that you could add on the women's side that wouldn't cost nearly as much money. I had the initial idea of perhaps cutting the men's golf team. Unfortunately, that's only 4 scholarships that you free up there. Not, you know, I love golf. I love to play golf. I love to watch golf. But college golf, not a spectator sport, and Utah State doesn't even play a single home golf tournament. You know, they spend their entire time on the road. So, like, what's really the point of having a golf team? But, again, the problem arises that that's only 4 scholarships. So you got a little bit more ground to make up there.
Then add women's golf, you're still at only 8.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we're trying to solve problems here, which
you can
nobody
always
wants
add
to solve.
Add 2 or 3 more scholarship to the women's track and field cross country team.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. I mean, you could even just add it onto like already existing teams, but
that's true.
Also, I think it'd just be kind of fun just to add more sports because,
yeah, more opportunities.
Is that going to be more sports? Is not going to be a bad thing.
More stuff to talk about.
I'd totally go to women's water polo game, women's curling. What would be the best? Like, if we had to pick just like one Olympic sport. Apart from, like, the obvious ones.
Oh, I already know.
Beach volleyball.
You got me. You beat me
okay.
there.
Okay. That is there. That's probably true.
Which, actually, maybe, I mean,
what
a,
about
lot
like,
of, a lot of schools, every Pac-12 team has every Pac-12 team has a beach volleyball team.
Does NCAA,
and
like, WCC sanction, like, ice skating?
I don't think so.
I don't know. That'd be another one. Figure skating. Like, have a women's figure skating
sanction
team.
Sanction lacrosse.
Lacrosse, that's true. I mean, we could even take one of the clubs that we've got right now, and there is a women's lacrosse team that's supposed to be pretty good, but not an actually sanctioned sport.
Handball.
Handball, we have the national champion or whatever that was.
Just ask Sean.
Yeah, apparently he knows. But anyways.
No, I just think that, like, it's to me it's a little bit crazy that we don't have a baseball team that's school sponsored. And I really feel like within the next few years we could be there. I don't know. I don't have any inside information there. I don't know if the athletics department has even discussed it.
And we're just probably getting greedy here because everything else is doing pretty well. We're maybe, like, you know, maybe we could have a good everything. But
just looking through the list of NCAA sanctioned events, we could have women's ice hockey. That'd be kind of cool.
I'd almost say, like, get men's hockey at least before that, because men's hockey is actually really good.
Yeah, but okay, but then you raise up another.
Well, then we just add more women's sports.
Women's rifle shooting, women's rowing, women's fencing. There's NCAA sanctioned fencing, believe it or not.
Dude, could you imagine just, like, getting, like, a fencing scholarship?
Women's skiing.
Okay, that is true. Why do we not have that?
Utah has a ski team.
Yeah, like one of the big draws of this university that they keep, like, pushing out advertising. Like, we're, like, within six top-class resorts or whatever, within, like, 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
But we don't have a skiing team?
Again, not a spectator sport necessarily, but...
It'll be at least close.
Just go down to Deer Valley when they have, you know, when they have the world-class people coming in.
Plus, they could at least have, like, events, like, at Beaver Mountain every now and then or something. Or...
Yeah.
Force Beaver Mountain to put in a super pipe. There you go.
Anyway, I feel like our point has been made, and
not sure we've made a point really.
If anybody with any power and money is listening,
John Hartwell, we know that you're listening to our podcast.
Weekly listener, call in sometime. We'll have you on the show. breaking news, which isn't breaking, but it broke in this last week, so we're gonna break it right now.
Broken news.
In case you've lived under a rock and don't have Twitter or any other social media, Rashad Lewis is leaving the football team.
Is he playing basketball now?
Not playing basketball. I can't say that this is, like, the biggest surprise in the world. I certainly had my hopes up that he'd stick around, but I mean, then we go 3-9 and you can't really blame a freshman up-and-comer who shows so much potential for wanting to, you know, get somewhere that doesn't suck.
Well, go against that. One of our best Aggies in the NFL right now was on a team that pretty much sucked most of his career.
No, I mean, I'm not saying he's necessarily right or wrong. Like, I have, you know, that's not for me to decide, but it's just not surprising.
Plus, I mean, Bobby Wagner was kind of more of an unheralded recruit when he came here. He was, like, I think maybe 2-star. And I think Lewis was probably, I think, was the same thing. But he was at least, I mean, you're the son of Ray Lewis. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, he had something like 15 other D1 offers, given a lot of them were, you know.
Yeah, none of them were Power 5.
Marshall and.
But right now, like, after the season he put up freshman year, like, proving, like, hey, I can actually do this and go out over the middle and make a catch, make some plays. This is probably a Power 5 school that he's leaving for. I think he's at least heard something.
But I can't see him up and leaving for, like, a Cincinnati or, like you know, even one of, like, the upper tier.
Like, maybe, like, Houston or maybe, like, if Boise State maybe called or something. There's a couple there I might think, but
however,
it's still.
Given his recent history in USU athletics and, like, really in what's just commonplace for other athletics programs as well, I don't think he's going anywhere in the conference because we'd probably block the transfer.
That is also true. I mean, also kind of think about it. In a way, this could also be beneficial to Utah State. Like, I mean, obviously we lose arguably our best offensive player that was returning this season. You can make the case that Ronquavion Tarver might have been better. But big piece of the offense. But the offense still wasn't going to be that good. Is it better for if we had Rashad and he was putting up like 600 yards receiving this year for a struggling offense? Or is it better for him to maybe go to like a Pac-12 team, make a difference there, and then show like, hey, Utah State is at least somewhat able to like build a prospect here?
No, it's better for him to be on our team.
Okay,
I mean, unequivocally,
you're right, but, I mean, Is there any silver lining
see,
there?
See, with your second scenario
there. I like
your
optimism.
With your second scenario there, all that means is like, hey, you can't get a good school, come here for a year and then leave. And then we'll be seeing that. We'll be seeing that, and then we'll stay 3-9 because people will be come for 1 year and then go.
I'd still much rather get talent because I don't think we'd be 3-9 if we could get talented people like that that would come here and then just leave. Because at least they'd be playing really hard to get noticed by somebody else.
Here's the thing: Rashad came. He gave it his all during his freshman year. He is transferring out the right way, not 2 days before the season. To an in-state rival. I mean, of course, we don't know where he's going. So he's, yeah, exactly. He's doing everything the right way. And as much as it sucks, as much as I'm heartbroken, as much as I was not shocked, but devastated to see the news, and I think that this is really, really, really going to hurt this team, you can't blame the kid. Because he's doing it the right way. However, I don't know. I've seen a wide variety of people. I know a lot of them are just optimists saying, oh, this is not that big of a deal. I think that this is a huge deal. Because I think about the things that, had we done a podcast a week ago talking about the things that we're most excited for this season, and, I mean, we talked a little bit about the things that we were most excited for after watching spring ball, one of the very, very few bright spots, I would say, would be Rashad Lewis. You take that away.
Well, you look at it like who do we replace him with in our wide receiver core? I mean, you can maybe make the case that like a Justin Hervey or Luan Hunt kind of fits that same mold, but they're just not the same player. They don't have as much shiftiness. And then you look at the wide receiver position. Tarver's more just a tall, deep guy target. Chad Artis is kind of the same thing, but just relies solely on speed.
Maybe
Van I think Lillen? Gerald Bright.
Gerald Bright, maybe
you can kind of see that.
The thing is, he may not be as good as Rashad, but it's just someone that's going in there playing that wants to play for Utah State, right? Not someone here using it just as a stepping stone to try and get somewhere bigger because
yeah, I don't
no
think
one
Rashad was
him.
Doing that.
I don't think that's what it was either.
I mean, he came here. I mean, he had 15 other offers from schools, and sometimes you just come to a school and it just doesn't fit. I mean, you also look at it, we changed offensive coordinators, so it's an entirely different system than what he was told he was going to be playing when he came here. I don't think there's, like, you can really be looking at Rashad just like, he didn't want to play here. Because, again, like, when we look at last season, he was one of the only guys I really kind of felt like was really trying. Like, there was a couple of players on there that just, I kind of felt, we're just kind of going there and just kind of, I'm just here to be a football player. I felt Rashad was actually trying to make a difference on the team.
I'm just going to, like, try to put yourself in his shoes is the thing. I am a lifelong diehard Utah State fan. I've been going to Aggie football games, even when the team was terrible, sitting through late November games where we lost by 50 points. I love the Aggies. Absolutely, unequivocally love the Aggies. But if I'm a football recruit coming out of high school and I'm a 3-4 star guy, no way. After the last couple of seasons, no way am I picking Utah State. Not because I don't love the team, but because why would I want to go compete against, playing the Mountain West, competing against other teams, especially when the conference is so down like this, and not even be able to compete there? I'm taking my talents, I'm going to the Pac-12 or going to a better conference, a better team, given, every team, like you got your Bobby Wagners and your guys who can fit in these smaller schools and still make the NFL. But if I feel like I have a chance to go to the NFL, I'm going somewhere else. And then take that, coming from a lifelong Aggie fan, now you turn the tables and put that on a guy who is from Florida, probably didn't, I guarantee you, 2 years ago he couldn't tell you what the mascot of Utah State was. He probably had never heard of Utah State. Probably thought we were the Utes. That honestly, a kid from South Florida. And you're going to take him out, put him in the cold Logan Winters. He probably thought that he's coming. I mean, he knew that the program was a little bit down, but probably thought they're on the way back up. And then we go out and win 3 games.
And he's being thrown the ball by Kent Myers.
Exactly. I just have such a hard time putting any blame on him. Because I would do the same thing.
But where I get it, What I go a little different on it though is when you just quit and don't really have a place to go yet. You know, who says he's gonna go? He's gonna even get a place to go to a Power Five school or something like that. Who says?
Because
you know,
he's not gonna.
How does
quit
he know he's gonna be able to do that?
Because his goal is to play the NFL.
Well, I know, but like how does he know if he doesn't have a plan and he hasn't really?
The only
heard
reason
from people, how does he know if he's gonna get even an offer to one of those schools?
The only reason you're saying that is because we haven't heard anything because he hasn't said anything. But I guarantee you, he's heard from some people. He has his dad's freaking Ray Lewis. He has more connections than anybody else.
Yeah,
that we really know. I mean,
I wouldn't imply that like a David Collette situation happened where somebody came and recruited him. But you're
he's
not
at
gonna,
least gotten
you're not
a word from somebody
without you know maybe saying you know maybe when we're down at USC or you know he's got connections all over the country with his dad being Ray Lewis. You know that he's not just quitting blindly.
Yeah, somebody at least told him somewhere along the way, you can make it at a larger school. That could have even been in the recruiting process, and maybe it was planned.
Maybe he'll walk on at a larger school. Yeah. Who knows?
But even then, like, even if you are walking on, you like going even somewhere just in the Power Five, like if he ends up like at Cal or like Oregon or Texas Tech or something, those places are going to give him more exposure even 2 years down the line when he's actually able to play. I mean,
my gut tells me Pac-12, but
is there anyone from Utah State that did okay here, left here, and went to a Power Five that has really done something incredible?
You have to look at who has left Utah State in the past. Only the people that we've really counseled out. There haven't. I mean, this is really kind of new waters. I can't think of a single.
We didn't counsel out Gerritsen.
Well,
he did fairly well.
Did. And, I mean, we kind of did counsel him because we had a starting quarterback. And we told him, like, this is our starting quarterback. In that situation, when you are a quarterback, you know you're not going to really get on the field another way.
I can't think of a single guy who was a starter for Utah State said, I'm hitting the road, looking for greener pastures. I mean, maybe you guys can help me out, but I can't think of one. I mean, yeah, you've got your, like, Alex Wheats who was obviously counseled out, and no, he didn't have any success anywhere else, but it's because we didn't want him, you know, or
we could.
Guys that transfer to FCS schools and, you know, whether they do well there or not, it's because we basically told him to hit the road.
Yeah, I mean, Rashad, I mean, was a new, he's kind of a new situation from, like, the entire process. Again, Ray Lewis being his dad, that entire thing came with him when he first came to Utah State. But we saw him all throughout last season, and it wasn't like he was going out there and just relying on, like, the merits of his dad or the merits of being, like, this kind of high-profile recruit. Like, he came out, he worked, he tried hard for the football team. I just really feel like this situation just kind of turned to not what he was really expecting. The team, of course, wasn't as good as he was wanting. The system, I don't really feel like really benefited his strengths that well. And now an offensive coordinator change. He's probably looking at another season here that's going to be like, okay, this is just going to be a long season, and this isn't really helping my visibility for my future career. I mean, that's also the thing, is this isn't like just a hobby where he's like joining a club like baseball or something. This is his livelihood. Like, Rashad wants to make money doing this. And so I don't think any of us would argue if he's able to go to another, like, a Power Five school, that's a much better situation for him. It's kind of, I don't know, it's hard to really fault a guy when it's his career and he's trying to just make the best possible situation for him to succeed in that.
Yeah. And I mean, wherever he goes, he's going to be sitting out for a year because of NCAA transfer rules. So we won't really be able to continue the Rashad Lewis story and see how things pan out for him for at least a couple of years. But I mean, I don't know. It sucks. It's tough. That's kind of the state of the Utah State football program, unfortunately. And can't blame the guy for doing it. I wish him the best.
I'm sure we'll hear about him in like 2 years or so. At least I hope so. I want to see him to do well. Unless it's at Utah, then.
No, then he can go die in a hole.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I don't think he's going anywhere in state or in conference.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Anyway.
See what comes out in the coming months, weeks.
Yep. So again, congrats to tennis, softball, hopefully wrapping up a Mountain West championship here soon. And we'll be here with you next week to talk about how those things are going.
Congrats to any listeners for making it through the semester. Only one more week to go.
Yep. Also, congrats to Derek for eating the largest thing of Aggie ice cream I've ever seen.
And then at least our listener doesn't really go have finals or classes, so.
Thank you for listening, and
Derek,
we hope that you have a great day or night or afternoon or morning. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.